Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for July 17th, 2024. Speed limit on county road to stay the same for now. County leaders tackle speed issues, law firms, and PIO rule changes. By Trevor Hawes, editorial director. The speed limit on County Road 1065 is going to stay the same, but probably not for long. At the commissioner's court meeting Tuesday, an item seeking to reduce the speed limit on County Road 1065 between County Road 160 and County Road 135 was tabled after public comments from four residents in the area. The posted speed limit is 55 miles per hour. The county requested commissioners lower it to 35 miles per hour after complaints about oil-filled trucks traveling at high speeds on this two-mile stretch of road. Oil-filled traffic has gotten horrendous out there, resident Patty Holland told commissioners, adding that she thought it was reasonable to lower the speed limit to 45 miles per hour. Resident Jan Bell was opposed to the change, arguing that it wouldn't make a difference. No one wants to follow the speed limit anyway, she said, adding that the real concerns are lack of signage where a dip on the roads limit visibility, no striping, and lack of patrolling. County staff told commissioners that a traffic study showed 153 vehicles traveled on the road in 24 hours. Only 8 drove the speed limit. Staff added that a lowering of the speed limit should also be considered because of housing developments in the works there. Once complete, about a dozen more roads will tie into County Road 1065. Commissioners tabled the item until the next meeting so that the agenda item could be adjusted to lower the speed limit to 45 miles per hour and to possibly put up no passing signs. Here's a rundown of other action and discussions Tuesday. No change in tax delinquency firm. The law firm Purdue, Brandon, Fielder, Collins, and Mott will continue to handle tax delinquency collections for Midland County. Commissioners considered hiring McCreary, Veselka, Bragg, and Allen after a lengthy executive session to start the meeting. No motion was made to vote on the change. Thus, the county will continue to use its long-term firm. No funds for 4-H assistant. Because of county policy, a 4-H assistant can't be reimbursed for travel expenses incurred during the trip to the recent Junior National Show and judging contest. The current budget doesn't have an expenses line item for this position, which was created in September 2023, just as the county was winding down its previous fiscal year and new budget was already established. Commissioners were apologetic and said the next budget would include this matter. New boss for the PIO. The role of public information officer has been restructured. A PIO will now report directly to the director of human resources rather than to its commissioners. In addition to the normal duties for a PIO, this position is now required to manage the human resources phone directory, and HR-related tasks. According to the county's media relations webpage, Tate Owen and Sergeant Thomas Gray both serve as public information officers. Project Literacy Special Guest. Commissioners approved bringing in Lucky Diaz, a musician and author whose children's book, La Guitarista, will be featured in this year's Project Literacy event. Project Literacy puts books in the hand of every first grader in Midland County to promote a love of reading in young children. Rates change for the Horseshoe. Rentals pricing at the Horseshoe have gotten easier. At the request of county commissioners, the pricing schedule has become more streamlined with the addition of rental packages. Commissioner Scott Ramsey was vocal about the amphitheater, saying that not enough money is being charged. Ramsey also said he would like to see improvements throughout the Horseshoe, saying the facility is a crown jewel that is wearing away daily, and adding that the Horseshoe is for the people of Midland County. It should be the best. New rates include $5,500 for the amphitheater, $3,750 for all pavilion halls, or $1,000 each for A and B, and $1,500 for S. $150 per meeting room, $1,000 for the education room, $2,000 for the main area, arena, $800 for the livestock arena, $500 for the outdoor arena, $15,000 for the full Horseshoe complex. The move to approve the new rates passed unanimously. Horseshoe deposits. Commissioners heard staff's suggestion to adjust the Horseshoe's rental deposit fee The deposit is currently $1,000 across the board, whether a facility is being rented for a rodeo or quinceañera. This was a discussion item only, but commissioners were asked to consider changing the deposit fee to $1,000 for large events and $500 for smaller events. Funds for deputies. Commissioners accepted $140,000 from the Bustin' for Badges event. The funds will be used to buy law enforcement equipment for deputies. Pay raise for elected officials. Commissioners approved a 2% pay raise for elected officials next year. Alamo Letters donation. Commissioners agreed to accept a donation from the Alamo Letter Society. The county will receive a plaque with the famous Travis letter. Commissioners declined to donate $4,500 back to the Alamo Letter Society to go toward plaques for smaller counties after County Attorney Russell Malm noted that the county can't make donations. New records fee. Commissioners approved an increase in the fee to archive records. It is now $10. Midland Sheriff's Office arrests robbery suspect. By B.K. Richter, staff writer. The Midland County Sheriff's Office reported an arrest after an aggravated robbery. According to a press statement sent to the Reporter-Telegram, MCSO patrol deputies were dispatched July 5th to the 8500 block of Farm to Market Road 307 in Midland County in response to a robbery. An MCSO spokesperson said that through an investigation, criminal investigators identified the suspect as 26-year-old Sayel Noel Gonzalez Ward. Arrest warrants were then obtained after Gonzalez Ward was identified. MCSO reported that on July 10th, the MCSO SWAT, drone and narcotics teams, and the Criminal Investigation Division conducted a search warrant in the 3400 block of South County Road 1071. MCSO said Gonzalez Ward was located, leaving the area during the search warrant, and was arrested for aggravated robbery and possession of a firearm by a felon. Gonzalez Ward was booked into the Midland County Central Detention Center. No other information regarding this case was available Monday morning.
Harvest and enjoy garden-fresh cucumbers. Low in calories and versatile, cucumbers can flavor beverages, perk up a salad, served as a snack, or made into pickles. This popular vegetable is a good source of fiber, potassium, and vitamin K. Plus, they have a high water content, making them a mild diuretic to help in weight loss and reduce blood pressure. To ensure the best flavor and greatest nutritional value, grow your own or purchase cucumbers fresh from the farmer's market. Harvest cucumbers or purchase them based on the variety and intended use. Pick the fruit when it is 1.5 to 2 inches long if you plan on making sweet pickles. If dill pickles are on the menu, allow the cucumbers to grow bigger to about 3 to 4 inches. Wait to harvest those you plan on using fresh in salads, beverages, or for snacking. Harvest slicing cucumbers when the skin is firm, bright green, and the fruit is 6 to 9 inches long. You can leave burpless-type cucumbers on the vine a bit longer. They have been bred to maintain their mild flavor when harvested at 10 to 12 inches in length. Go big and impress your family with the crisp, mild flavor of the long Japanese cucumber. Pick these when they are 12 to 18 inches long. Their flavor remains mild and the skin is easy to digest despite the longer size. Misshapen and bitter-flavored cucumbers are usually the result of drought, improper fertilization, and large fluctuations in temperature. These are safe to eat but may not have the best flavor. The bitter flavor in cucumbers is caused by the cucurbitacin B and C in the plant moving from the leaves, stems, and roots into the fruit when the plants are under stress. Remove about 1 inch of the stem end and peel where these compounds concentrate to improve the flavor. Consider growing varieties that are typically less bitter, like Sweet Slice, Sweet Success, and Market More 76. Compost poor quality fruit that are not suitable for eating, then adjust your care to ensure better quality cucumbers for the remainder of the season. Consider making a second planting if the space and time allow. Many cucumbers reach maturity in 60 days or less. Calculate the days remaining until the first fall frost to determine if you have enough time to plant, grow, and harvest a second cucumber crop. Grow the All-American Selections winner Green Light ready to harvest in as few as 37 to 42 days. Train the long vines on a pole or trellis to save space and for easier picking. Harvest the fruit when 3 to 4 inches long for great taste without peeling. Try growing patio snacker cucumber if space is limited. This compact plant produces an abundance of 6 to 7 inch fruit in about 50 days. Extend the season indoors with the new Kitchen Minia Quick Snack Cucumbers. These small plants will grow indoors in a sunny window with no pollination needed and produce fruit that tastes best when picked at 2.5 inches long. No matter how you plan to enjoy this multi-purpose vegetable, harvest it at just the right time for the best flavor and intended use. This day in history. Today is Wednesday, July the 17th, and on this date in 1955, Disneyland opened in Anaheim, California after its $17 million year-long construction. The park drew 1 million visitors in its first 10 weeks. And also on this date in 1862, during the Civil War, Congress approved the Second Confiscation Act, which declared that all slaves taking refuge behind Union lines were to be set free. In 1918, Russia's Tsar Nicholas II and his family were executed by the Bolsheviks. In 1936, the Spanish Civil War began as right-wing army generals launched a coup attempt against the Second Spanish Republic. In 1944, during World War II, 320 men, two-thirds of them African Americans, were killed when a pair of ammunition ships exploded at the Port Chicago Naval Magazine in California. In 1945, following Nazi Germany's surrender, President Harry S. Truman, Soviet leader Joseph Stalin, and British Prime Minister Winston S. Churchill began meeting at Potsdam in the final Allied summit of World War II. In 1975, an Apollo spaceship docked with a Soyuz spacecraft in orbit in the first superpower link-up of its kind. In 1981, 114 people were killed when a pair of suspended walkways above the lobby of the Kansas City Hyatt Regency Hotel collapsed during a tea dance. In 1996, TWA Flight 800, a Europe-bound Boeing 747, exploded and crashed off Long Island, New York, shortly after departing John F. Kennedy International Airport, killing all 230 people on board. In 2014, all 298 passengers and crew aboard Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 were killed when the Boeing 777 was shot down over rebel-held eastern Ukraine. Both Ukraine's government and pro-Russian separatists denied responsibility. In 2020, civil rights icon John Lewis, whose bloody beating by Alabama state troopers in 1965 helped galvanize opposition to racial segregation and who went on to a long and celebrated career in Congress, died at age 80. In 2022, a report said nearly 400 law enforcement officials rushed to a mass shooting that left 21 people dead at a Texas elementary school, but egregiously poor decision-making resulted in a chaotic scene that lasted more than an hour before the gunman was finally confronted and killed. Obituaries. Sue Bradford Anthony passed away on Saturday, June the 8th, in Austin, Texas. A private family burial is to be held in Alpine at the Elm Grove Cemetery on September the 28th. A public celebration of life for Sue is planned for the same day in Alpine, time to be announced. Mary Lois Evans Gilliam, age 94, of Odessa, passed away on July the 11th. Funeral services were held at 3 p.m. on Monday, July the 15th, and burial followed at the Downing Cemetery. Barbara Ann Ney passed away on July the 8th. No other information is given. Paul Edward Burnett Jr., age 68, of Odessa, died Tuesday, July the 9th. Services will be scheduled at a later date, and arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Ashley Nicole Camden, age 22, of Odessa, died Thursday, July the 11th in Lubbock. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Visitation, July the 21st at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Samuel Floyd Sonny Henderson passed away on July the 12th. A visitation will be held Tuesday, July the 23rd, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, July the 24th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. A burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Changing a Medicare Advantage plan is stressful, by Tony King. Hello, Tony. My question is, if I change to a Medicare Advantage plan in the fall and find out it's not working for me, what are my chances of returning to a Medicare and a supplement? I have a Medicare Supplement Plan F that is over $300 monthly, and I'm looking for something more reasonable. I am a 78-year-old female in fairly good health. I have spent time searching on Medicare.gov for what different Medicare Advantage plans offer, but cannot find out what doctors and hospitals are in the networks. I am just as confused right now as when I started and need your guidance. Looking forward to what you have to say. Thank you from Sally from Atlanta, Georgia. And Tony responds, Hi, Sally. July is not the correct time to be searching for Medicare Advantage plan for Medicare's annual enrollment period for 2025. The new MAPD plans are released for the public to begin viewing on October the 1st every year, with enrollment starting October the 15th and ending midnight on December the 7th. With your new MAPD plan begins January 1st, 2025. Sally, MAPD plans will be different for 2025 from what you have looked at recently on the Medicare.gov website. Sally, you will have a specific amount of time, 12 months, to be able to re-enroll in your current Medicare supplement plan and disenroll from the MAPD plan you've chosen if you are dissatisfied. Since you are concerned about your $300 monthly Medicare Supplement Plan F, I would suggest that you consider changing your Medicare supplement now before Medicare's AEP to a less expensive supplement plan. Supplement plans G or N have lower premiums but higher out-of-pocket costs than your current Plan F, which has a zero out-of-pocket cost. Sally, you will have to answer medical underwriting questions to qualify for the specific supplement plan that you pick. Then you will know if changing to a MAPD plan is the right option for you. Here are the differences between Medicare Supplement Plan G and Plan N. Plan G offers lower premiums and the same Medicare benefits as Plan F, except the Medicare Part B deductible is not covered and will be paid for by the enrolled Medicare beneficiary. The Part B deductible for 2024 is $240, which is Plan G's out-of-pocket. Plan N generally has a lower premium than Plan G with higher out-of-pocket costs. There's a $20 copay for a doctor's visit and a $50 copay for the emergency room. The Part B deductible is also not covered, and the Part B excess charges are not paid for by the insurance company, which Plan G covers. Sally, you asked about your specific doctors or hospitals accepting Medicare Advantage plans. Most of the hospitals are included in many of the Medicare Advantage networks where you live. Primary care physicians or specialists are a different story because they accept MAPD plans differently. I always advise my Tony Says Medicare clients during a consultation and those who attend my Confused About Medicare webinars to call all of their doctors to see what plans the healthcare professional or facility currently accepts. The reason I say currently accepts is that doctors and or hospitals can stop accepting a specific plan at any time of the year. Readers, please be aware of this situation. For those confused about Medicare Advantage, Chapter 4 of my Medicare Survival Guide Advanced Edition explains the different types of Medicare Advantage plans and what to expect when enrolling for the first time or during the AEP. Call the Tony Says Medicare hotline at 832-519-8664 or mail info at tonysays.com for Medicare help. Tony's Medicare Survival Guide Advanced Edition is available at tonysays.com. Tony's Medicare Moments articles have just been released at familytalktoday.com/Medicare Moments.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, July 17th, 2024. Medication. Extreme heat gets risky with some medicines. Extreme heat can raise the danger of heat-related illnesses and threaten health in a more subtle way by amplifying the side effects of many common medications. Hot weather, too, can damage medicines such as insulin that require refrigeration. Inhalers can explode, epinephrine injectors such as EpiPens can malfunction, meds delivered in the mail can deteriorate. A look at common problems and solutions related to heat in medicine. Which medicines could cause problems in the heat? Blood pressure pills that reduce fluid in the blood can lead to dehydration. Beta blockers for heart conditions can decrease blood flow to the skin and make you less aware of dangerous heat. Some antidepressants can hinder your ability to stay cool. Aspirin and other over-the-counter pain relievers decrease fluid and sodium levels, making it harder to deal with high temperatures. On top of that, the combination of heat and drug side effects can lead to lightheadedness and falls. Alcohol increases the danger, said pharmacist Bradley Phillips of the University of Florida College of Pharmacy. You can learn more about your medication's side effects and storage requirements at the National Library of Medicine's Medline Plus website. Or talk to your doctor or pharmacist, Phillips said. Ask about how much water you should be drinking if you're on medications that increase dehydration. He recommends staying hydrated and, quote, not relying on your body's ability to tell you that you're thirsty, end quote. Some medicines, antibiotics, antifungals, and acne drugs can heighten sensitivity to the sun, causing rashes and sunburns. If you're taking them, stay under an umbrella or wear sun-protective fabrics and sunscreen, said Dr. Mike Wren, a family physician at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston. Quote, you might be on antibiotics, not think too much of it, go down to the beach, and then come back with a whopping sunburn, end quote, Wren said. How should medications be stored for travel? Medication generally should be kept in a cool, dry place unless it needs refrigeration. That can be challenging while traveling. Before a summer road trip, check labels for the storage requirements of your meds. Carry medicine in a cooler when traveling by car, even if it doesn't require refrigeration. The car's trunk or glove box could get too hot for even room temperature storage. Traveling by plane? It's always best to keep medications in your carry-on bag in case your checked luggage is delayed or lost, or it can get too cold in the cargo hold. What about prescriptions delivered by mail? Mail-order pharmacies are responsible for keeping your drugs at safe temperatures during storage and transit. The best practice is to ship sensitive medicine in special packaging with ice packs and temperature monitors. But that doesn't always happen. Or a delivery can come at a bad time, said Wren, who recently helped his vacationing mother by bringing her delivery of supplements into her Houston home as the region faced soaring heat. Quote, if you know you're going to be at work all day, or if you're on vacation and you get medications delivered, you definitely don't want that sitting outside in the hot 100-degree sun, end quote, Wren said. If you think your mail-order medication has been damaged by the heat, call the pharmacy to report the problem. Is more research needed? Yes. Researchers in the U.S. and Australia say some of the common warnings about heat and drugs don't have a lot of scientific evidence behind them. Ollie Jay at the University of Sydney found backing for only 4 of the 11 medication categories that the World Health Organization lists as concerns with high heat. He suggests changing behavior, not medications, like staying out of the heat. Quote, be a bit more cautious, end quote, he said. Dr. Renee Salas, an emergency room physician at Massachusetts General Hospital, said as climate change accelerates, there's a need to know which medicines are the riskiest in the heat. Quote, we don't have that answer yet, and it's one that we need to rapidly figure out, end quote, Salas said. MRI Safety Week. What you should know about MRIs. There are lots of fun facts about MRIs. To get ready for the upcoming MRI Safety Week, which runs July 21st through 27th, here's some facts about MRIs. MRI technology. It's been around a while. Did you know that MRI is now considered 50 years old? The first nuclear magnetic resonance, NMR, site was approved for patient care in April of 1974. MRI has come a long way from its infancy. It started out as a standalone building outside a hospital to ensure there were no negative effects to pacemaker patients. Long scan times and grainy pictures are a thing of the past. Images now are clear and sharp. Plus, multiple imaging places that are part of the everyday protocols. Dr. Raymond Demadian, who is credited with the first MRI scanner, was a practicing physician. Demadian scanned the first whole-body MRI in 1977 after learning that tumors and normal tissue emitted different frequencies. He didn't earn the Nobel Prize for his invention, but he was inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame in 1989. However, two other gentlemen, Paul Latterer and Peter Mansfield, were awarded the Nobel Prize for their leading work in magnetic resonance imaging. Their imaging techniques and methods of tissue proton relaxation and density differences proved to create an image useful in the diagnosis of different medical conditions. Ferrous metal detectors provide safety. Diagnostic Imaging Associates now has ferrous metal detectors. Our staff is committed to MRI safety, and we are very proud to have the latest technology to assist with identifying ferrous metal that could lead to a safety event. We can now screen a patient and family members before going into our MRI area. We have hand-felled ferrous metal detector wands to assist with screening our patients. The wands can be used once we have our patient on an MRI-compatible stretcher or seated in our MRI-compatible wheelchair. This ensures that we are protecting our patients and staff from potential harm. If we should find ferrous metals in the patient, we can utilize another imaging modality if MRI is determined not safe. There are four zones you should know. An MRI has four different zones. Any location with an MRI should have the MRI zones marked clearly. Zone 1 is the farthest area away from the MRI room, such as the lobby. Zone 2 is a staging area or dressing room location, and this is where we use the ferrous metal detector. Zone 3 is outside the actual MRI room, where we will use the handheld ferrous metal detector. Zone 4 is the actual MRI room. Telemedicine. Mint offers doctor visits via phone video call. Mint offers virtual doctor appointments to patients through telemedicine, a word commonly used for the use of technology to distribute health services between physicians and patients. Dr. Thomas Jarman, Mint's founder, provides lifestyle medicine services to patients around through video calls and phone calls. Jarman graduated from Lee High School in 2013. In 2022, he graduated from the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, TTUHSC, School of Medicine with his MD. Jarman is a resident physician of family medicine at TTUHSC, and he runs Mint on the side. At Mint, he focuses on lifestyle medicine, which includes diet, exercise, and wellness, to help treat or prevent medical conditions. Quote, I do a little bit of everything, end quote, Jarman said. Quote, that was something that was appealing to me about family medicine, end quote. Jarman said that he's able to see patients from all over the state, but that telemedicine comes with many pros and cons. People are drawn to telemedicine because the virtual visits are convenient and they can attend a doctor's appointment from their own home. However, virtual appointments come with some drawbacks. Quote, helping with changing medicine is easy, end quote, Jarman said of telemedicine. Quote, but I can't see the patient physically. I can't listen to their heart or check their reflexes, end quote. Jarman said that although telemedicine was around before COVID-19, it wasn't as widely used as it is now. During COVID-19, virtual visits became the best way to see doctors. Quote, telemedicine make it easy to get care and see doctors, end quote, German said. He said that he's been able to see patients who are bedridden and can't leave their homes. Mint offers different types of appointments. Initial visits are estimated to be 45 minutes and cost $125. Follow-up visits are around 25 minutes and cost $85, and monthly follow-ups cost $70. Mint provides a, quote, super bill, end quote, that patients can send to their insurance to request reimbursement from the insurance company. Mint also offers subscription options, including the, quote, peppermint, end quote, the, quote, winter mint, end quote, and group sessions. Quote, peppermint, end quote, includes monthly follow-ups and, quote, winter mint, end quote, includes two visits a month. Patients meet with German virtually through a patient portal and phone app called Healthy. Patients can sync their Apple Health, Google Fit, and Fitbit data with the app. They are also able to create goals with German and message him directly between visits. German's general availability is during the evenings and weekends. Mint can be contact via phone or text at 432-242-2013. Nutrition. What foods aid memory function? Research suggests that the ability to maximize memory function may be related to what you eat. Following an eating plan that provides a healthier selection of dietary fats and a variety of plant foods rich in phytonutrients could positively affect your health. Phytonutrients are substances found in certain plants that are believed to be beneficial for human health and help prevent certain diseases. There's still much to learn about what makes up a brain-healthy diet. Studies are finding that what's good for your heart also may be good for your brain. So the best bet for rich memories is to forgo unhealthy fat and remember to diversify your plant-based food portfolio. Foods that boost memory. Diets rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and legumes, fish, healthier fats, and herbs or seeds boost the brain's memory functioning. Here's more about these powerhouse foods. Fruits. Berries are high in antioxidants that can protect the brain from oxidative damage and prevent premature aging and memory-impairing dementia. Blueberries are a rich source of anthocyanin and other flavonoids that may improve brain function. Grapes are full of resveratrol, a memory-boosting compound. Concord grapes are rich in polyphenols, which have the potential to promote brain function. Watermelon has a high concentration of lycopene, another powerful antioxidant. Watermelon also is a good source of pure water, which benefits brain health. Even a mild case of dehydration can reduce mental energy and impair memory. Avocados are a fruit rich in monounsaturated fat, which improves memory function by helping improve blood cholesterol levels when eaten in moderation in place of saturated fats. Vegetables. Beets are rich in nitrates, a natural compound that can dilate blood vessels, allowing more oxidated blood to reach the brain. Dark leafy greens are known for their antioxidants, such as vitamin C, and have been shown to reduce age-related memory loss. Greens also are rich in folate, which can improve memory by decreasing inflammation and improving blood circulation to the brain. Whole grains and legumes. Cracked wheat, whole grain couscous, chickpeas, oats, sweet potatoes, and black beans are examples of complex carbohydrates. Since brain cells run on glucose derived from carbohydrates and don't store excess glucose, they need a steady supply of it. Complex carbohydrates are a preferred brain food, providing a slow, sustained supply of glucose. They take longer to metabolize and are high in folate, the memory-boosting B vitamin. Seafood. Fatty fishes such as salmon, trout, mackerel, herring, sardines, pilchards, and kippers are rich in heart-healthy omega-3 fatty acids. These have been shown to improve memory when eaten 1 to 2 times per week. Omega-3 fatty acids don't affect low-density lipoprotein, LDL, cholesterol, and can lower triglycerides. Shellfish and crustaceans such as oysters, mussels, clams, crayfish, shrimp, and lobster are good sources of vitamin B12, a nutrient involved in preventing memory loss. Healthier fats. Olive oil provides monounsaturated fat, which can help reduce LDL cholesterol levels when used in place of saturated or trans fat. Extra virgin olive oil is the least processed type with the highest protective antioxidant compound levels. Nuts such as walnuts are a source of omega-3 fatty acids, which lower triglycerides, improve vascular health, help moderate blood pressure, and decrease blood clotting. Herbs or seeds. Cocoa seeds are a rich source of flavonoid antioxidants, which are especially important in preventing damage from LDL cholesterol, protecting arterial lining, and preventing blood clots. Cocoa also contains arginine, a compound that increases blood vessel dilation. Rosemary and mint are in the same herb family. Rosemary has been shown to increase blood flow to the brain, improving concentration and memory. Peppermint aroma has been found to enhance memory. Sesame seeds are a rich source of the amino acid tyrosine, which is used to produce dopamine, a neurotransmitter responsible for keeping the brain alert and memory sharp. Sesame seeds also are rich in zinc, magnesium, and vitamin B6, other nutrients involved in memory function. Saffron has been shown to positively affect individuals with mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease. Making lifestyle modifications to control your cholesterol, blood sugar, and blood pressure levels, as well as not smoking, taking daily walks, and keeping your weight in healthy range can help preserve memory function.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, July 13th. Oil field service jobs continue to grow. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Employment in the energy services sector continued to expand in June, according to the monthly job report released by the Energy Workforce and Technology Council. According to the report, which cited the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics and analysis from the council, the nation's oil field services sector gained 968 jobs in June. For the first time this year, employment growth outpaced 2023's growth by almost 450 jobs, according to the council. The energy service sector's growth is particularly notable given the broader economic context of rising unemployment rates, suggesting a targeted rebound in energy-specific job markets, the council said. Quote, "This uptick and job growth within the oil field services sector is a positive indicator for American energy production," said Energy Workforce President Molly Detterman in announcing the report. Continuing the quote, "Despite economic challenges spanning the national workforce, our sector continues to demonstrate robust growth driven by advancements in technology and the continued global demand for American oil and gas," end quote. Demand for talent in the U.S. energy sector remains strong, quote, "in line with growing demand for our product, including 6,816 active job postings in the support activities for oil and gas operations sector and 1,533 in drilling oil and gas wells last month," Ed Longenecker, president of the Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, told a reported telegram by email. Quote, "The energy services sector is a key indicator of the health of our industry, the level of domestic exploration and production activity, and is a critical component in strengthening our nation's energy security and economy. We applaud the energy workers and companies throughout the U.S. that make our modern society possible," he continued. In total, the energy services sector currently supports 647,000 jobs across the United States. Texas leads with 315,000 jobs. Next is Louisiana with 54,000 jobs, Oklahoma with 49,000 jobs, Colorado with 26,000 jobs, New Mexico with 24,000 jobs, California with 23,000 jobs, Pennsylvania with 23,000 jobs, North Dakota with 20,000 jobs, Wyoming with 15,000 jobs, Ohio with 10,000 jobs, Alaska with 10,000 jobs, and West Virginia with 9,900 jobs. Insurance affordability challenge. Soaring insurance rates, especially for auto coverage, are impacting oilfield service companies. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Insurance rates are not just impacting home and auto owners, they're affecting oilfield service companies as well. Quote, "I've done this since 1990, selling insurance to contractors, and it's the worst I've seen in regard to rate increases," said John Wilkins Jr., president and co-founder of McAnally Wilkins Incorporated. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram by phone, Wilkins noted that most, if not all, service companies in the Permian Basin work under master service agreements with the producers that hire them. Those master agreements dictate not only what must be covered, but the amount of coverage required. Coverage can include workers' compensation, general liability, equipment coverage, and umbrella coverage, which provides extra protection beyond existing limits and coverage of other policies. Coverage can range from $5 million to $20 million, he said. Quote, "It's impossible for service contractors not to carry insurance," he said. Combine rising insurance rates with inflation, wage pressures, and supply concerns, and, quote, "it makes for slim margins for contractors," said Wilkins. Auto and umbrella coverage have become challenging for service companies to afford, he said. While general liability and work stoppage coverage rates are holding steady, he said auto rates and umbrella coverage rates will continue to rise. Auto liability rates could rise anywhere from 20 to 100% in any given year, he said, an increase that could become unsustainable. Quote, "I don't see auto rates being lower in the Permian Basin anytime soon," he said. "The only thing that could reverse the trend would be tort reform with regards to how much damages a judge or jury can award for an auto accident," end quote. In the meantime, he said, companies may be able to help mitigate costs by educating their drivers with defensive driving courses, company-sponsored driving courses, and utilizing continuous monitoring. Continuous monitoring can include installing cameras that face forward and record the driver. GPS monitors can alert the company if there is a speeding violation or hard braking situation on the highway. He predicted such continuous monitoring will become required by insurers in the next 2 to 5 years. In terms of insurance coverage for new operations or new equipment like fuel-efficient electric fleets, Wilkins said that is primarily the responsibility of the operators, quote, "but that has a way of finding its way to the contractor over time. From a coverage or policy standpoint, it will have to be addressed," end quote. Microsoft joins list of customers at Ector County Carbon Capture Plant. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. There's still a year to go before it enters service, but the Stratos Direct Air Capture Plant, under construction in Ector County, is already racking up customers. 1.5, the subsidiary of Occidental Petroleum that will own the Stratos plant, announced an agreement this week to sell 500,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide removal credits, or CDR credits, over 6 years to Microsoft to support the technology giant's carbon removal strategy. The agreement is the largest single purchase of such credits enabled by direct air capture to date. Quote, "We are excited about this landmark agreement for direct air capture, which is a result of Microsoft's leadership in carbon removal and focus on building a more sustainable future, Mike Avery, president and general manager of 1PointFive, told the Reporter Telegram by email, quote, "A commitment of this magnitude further demonstrates how one of the world's largest corporations is integrating scalable direct air capture into its net zero strategy. Energy demand across the technology industry is increasing, and we believe direct air capture is uniquely suited to remove residual emissions and further climate goals," end quote. Avery noted that there are other sectors that look to the technology sector to guide how to shape carbon removal portfolios. Quote, "What the Microsoft agreement says to other companies who are trying to build sophisticated portfolios is that DAC is a viable solution that companies have high confidence in. Direct air capture is a versatile solution that provides high-integrity removal of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, so you can use it wherever it fits your portfolio," he wrote. In a call to analysts to discuss the company's third-quarter earnings, Avery reported that similar agreements have been made with Amazon, ANA, TD Bank, NextGen, the Houston Astros, and Houston Texans. He estimated 65-70% of Stratos' net capacity is sold out to 2030. There are also early-stage negotiations that could take that capacity up to 85% net capacity being sold out to 2030, he added. Quote, "We're getting a lot of momentum building in the market with a strong sort of pipeline of buyers that are growing now. We attribute this to the market beginning to realize the importance of how direct air capture is going to fit within their portfolios. I think there's also a growing recognition that direct air capture is not sitting out in the future. It's a technology that's ready to go now at commercial scale. And that is actually more affordable than people think when placed next to some of the other alternatives out there," he told analysts. He also told analysts that there is a range of terms in the sale of CDR deals from 1 to 10 years and are fixed-priced agreements. Under the terms of the agreement with Microsoft, which has committed to becoming carbon negative by 2030, the captured carbon dioxide underlying the credits will be securely stored through subsurface saline sequestration and will not be used to produce oil and gas. Last November, BlackRock agreed to invest $550 million in the development of Stratos, forming a joint venture with Occidental through its 1PointFive subsidiary. Texas drilling permit well completion data released. Midland dominates. The Texas Railroad Commission has issued its data on drilling permits and completions for the month of June. For the month, the Commission issued 715 original drilling permits, including 648 for new oil and gas wells, 5 to re-enter plugged well bores, and 55 for recompletions of existing well bores. Commission staff also processed 610 oil, 225 gas, and 198 injection completions for new drills, re-entries, and recompletions. The Commission's District 8, Midland, dominated with 401 permits to drill new wells, 309 new oil completions, and 75 new natural gas completions. The Commission's other districts, District 1, San Antonio, 52 new permits, 40 new oil completions, and 22 new gas completions. District 2, Refugio, 32 new permits, 37 new oil completions, and 15 new gas completions. District 3, Southeast Texas, 4 new permits, 9 new oil completions, and 8 new gas completions. District 4, Deep South Texas, 9 new permits, 2 new oil completions, 29 new gas completions. District 5, East Central Texas, 1 new permit, 1 new oil completion, 1 new gas completion. District 6, East Texas, 29 new permits, 9 new oil completions, 40 new gas completions. District 7B, West Central Texas, 14 new permits, 6 new oil completions. District 7C, San Angelo, 55 new permits, 86 oil completions. District 8A, Lubbock, 26 new permits, 35 new oil completions. District 9, North Texas, 21 new permits, 6 new oil completions, 20 new gas completions. District 10, the Panhandle, 4 new permits, 8 new oil completions.
Dear Dr. Roach, I had a CT calcium scan, and my score was 530. My doctor said that this was high, so he put me on a statin, Lipitor, but it debilitated me with so much muscle pain that I had to stop. I am wondering if there is something other than a statin to help lower cholesterol. My doctor told me to go on the Mediterranean-style diet, then check my numbers again. Last time, my blood pressure was 160 over 90. I also have a family history of heart disease. Dr. Roach answers, I entered your information into a calculator, the MESA score, available at tinyurl.com/MESA score, and found that you have approximately 13% risk of having a heart attack, needing a bypass, or dying from heart disease in the next 10 years. This is high enough that treatment to reduce risk is clearly recommended. A statin, like Lipitor, is usually the first-line treatment since we have decades of research showing that it reduces heart attack in people at high risk. Treatment with a statin is expected to reduce your risk to about 10.5%. A Mediterranean-style diet is expected to reduce your risk by another 1 or 2%. When a person can't tolerate Lipitor, I usually stop the drug for at least a month, then restart them on a different statin, preferably one with a lower risk of muscle pain. If a person really can't tolerate any statin, then another option is the new treatment, bempedoic acid, which works similarly to a statin but does not affect muscles. Unfortunately, it's very expensive. Some other options are a PCSK9 inhibitor, which is also very expensive, or ezetimibe, which isn't quite as effective, but it is better than no treatment at all. Getting your blood pressure down, ideally below 130, either through lifestyle changes or medication, can also reduce your heart disease risk. Dear Abby, I met this guy at work. He was everything I'm looking for in a guy. During a lunch walk, he told me about his breakup with his ex and how he moved out and bought a house. He lives with his son and his nephews and their family. The entire 2 months we dated were amazing. There may have been a couple of red flags my coworker and friends noticed. He couldn't message me often after work or on weekends, and he was always so busy with his kid, we couldn't go on a date. He told me his ex was not in the picture, which I thought was odd since his son is only 2. I don't know why I decided to do some internet research on him, but I did, and I found out he actually is married and bought the house with that ex. When I confronted him about this, he insisted he had told me about it when we first started talking, which is not true. Now that the cat's out of the bag, he says he's getting back with her for his son, but still wants me in the picture as his side piece. I fell in love with him, Abby, and he says he loves me too. I don't think it's right to do this, but I don't want to stop talking to him. Should I block him and move on, or stick around since he still wants me? Dear Abby answers, close your eyes, dig deep, and see if you can feel around and locate a shred of your self-esteem. Why would you be content to be a side piece in this philanderer's life? He doesn't love you. I doubt he loves anyone but himself. Do yourself a giant favor. Quit listening to his sales pitch, block him, and find someone who can give you the love you crave. Another dear Abby. Last week, my wife and I were at a local function. During intermission, a man walked up behind my wife and placed his hand on her shoulder. She looked up, shouted, George! Jumped out of her chair and was all over him, fondling his face and head. I had to turn away, but our friends continued to watch as the two carried on. She claims it was not inappropriate behavior and that I am just jealous. Is this really a married woman's normal behavior? Dear Abby answers, bind your wound and let it go. While your wife's reaction may have seemed over the top to you, if George is someone your wife cared about and hadn't seen in many years, it wasn't out of the realm of normality for her. And another dear Abby, my ex-mother-in-law caught wind that my six-year-old would be getting her first haircut and took it upon herself to trim my daughter's baby curls without telling me so she could keep some for herself. I am livid. She has taken the first birthday, the first Christmas dress, the first pair of shoes. I get that it's her first time being a grandma, but this is my first and only time being a mom. She is a delicate woman. How do I approach this? Dear Abby answers, explain to your ex-mother-in-law what you wrote to me, omitting the part about livid because she's delicate. The next time a first approaches, inform her politely that you wish to be consulted before she does anything else involving your daughter.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.